About 8 years ago, I went to a little camp out, and he was there, and we hit it off right off the bat. You know, he was going through a divorce, and I was about to, too, and we hit it off real good, and he was funny. I didn't think he had much clean time, and we were hanging out, and then I found out he had like 25 years or something like that. A couple of years later, I asked him to be my sponsor. He's been my sponsor ever since. And I was a relapse king when I first came in, and since I asked him to be my sponsor, I ain't had to relapse because I started working steps and started working on me. Without further ado, I give you Ray E.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm an addict named Ray.
Hey, Ray.
And you guys have a beautiful location. We do a convention in Indiana where we're from. Well, if people ask me where I'm from, I always say my mama. And then I say I reside. But this fellowship is such a wonderful fellowship. And one thing I like to say before I start sharing is if you're here, they told me when I first got clean, we need to leave the place cleaner than when we got here. I mean, I'm not trying to, I don't force things on people, but I was taught that when I first got here. If you smoke cigarettes, field strip your cigarette butt. I was in the military. No, I believe that because we're representatives of Narcotics Anonymous. What do we want to represent? A bunch of, I get crazy in recovery. Don't get me wrong. I've done a lot of stupid stuff in recovery. But I firmly believe this fellowship is growing, and it survives from each every one of us. We're the representative. I'm no different than anybody standing out there. I don't even know why the heck I'm up here. I got clean. I first found recovery in 1985 in prison, and it was the other fellowship because this fellowship wasn't in prison. And I didn't know nothing. I didn't know this fellowship was around. So I kept changing the words to drugs. Then I got out one day, and I relapsed, and I went to a meeting, and they said, well, they're not here no more, but there's this fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous. I said, what's that? And the lady says, I don't know, they're just upstairs in room whatever. And that was my first exposure, and I went to the meeting, and just being out of prison for 4.5 years, I go in this meeting, and there's about like 10 people, And I didn't listen to nothing they said. I was just there because I came off from using the night before and knew I didn't want to use no more. And they got done with the meeting, and the guys, you know, we did our little, they do the little hug in the circle, and the guy comes up and says, we give hugs. And I looked at him funny and said, no, dude, I'll give you a handshake. You can stand over there. Because hugs weren't something, that was a violation of my space getting out of prison, you know. It's like, no, dude, I don't hug dudes. And this fellowship, it clicked somewhere in my brain, so I started looking for whatever Narcotics Anonymous was. And we had a meeting every day of the week, but it was in one facility. And I went, and they said 90 meetings in 90 days, and, you know, it's an honest program. There was a girl sitting on the other side of the table with a lot of cleavage and nice shorts and, so, well, it's nice, not a bad fellowship. You know, I'll stay a little bit. And, you know, they say no relationships in the first year. I said, man, dude, I've been in prison 4.5 years. Are you crazy? And she smiled, and I smiled, and that relationship occurred, and she relapsed, but I stayed in the fellowship. You know, and there's reasons we say that, but I didn't know that at the time because my mind wasn't on recovery. You know, and then that's what got me to find a sponsor because man, sponsors suck. No, excuse me. They're great people. They just make us be accountable to them and ourselves. And I went up to a guy and said, can you sponsor me? And he said, no, I can't sponsor you because the guy that she left you for is one of my sponsees, and I don't think that would work. I said, well, maybe not. So he said, but this guy over here, he has those sponsees. Why don't you ask him? So this big Puerto Rican-looking dude, Mexican, whatever he was, I said, would you sponsor me? And he looked at me and said, well, how much do you want recovery? I said, hell, I don't know. I just need somebody to talk to about the pain and suffering I'm going through. So we talked a little bit, and then he says, okay, I'll be your sponsor. And so February 5th of 1989, I finally got serious about Narcotics Anonymous. 6 months later, I quit going to two fellowships because an addict in recovery said, Ray, you need to make up your mind where you want to be. Because I didn't know. And I said, well, you know, I like Narcotics Anonymous, so I guess I'll choose that. So I have not stepped in another 12-step fellowship in Narcotics Anonymous since about November of 89. Because I don't need no other fellowship. This feeds me. This gives me everything I need. And, you know, so my journey in recovery, you know, started then really because having a sponsor, working the steps, we worked the traditions. We didn't have a lot of, you know, a lot of literature wasn't there back then. And, you know, we all come from the same backgrounds in retrospect. You know, we have done the same things. We're here for the main reason is recovery, you know. And some people are here for recovery. I hate to say that. And I don't like everybody in recovery because I don't get along with everybody. And that's okay. As long as somebody calls and I'm there for them. I can hate you, or I don't use that word hate because I hate, that's a very harsh word. I dislike you very much. But that's okay because we'll come together to help the addict that still suffers because that's what this program teaches us. You know, it teaches us a lot. What skills did I have when I got here? I didn't have no skills. I was a liar, a cheater. I'd take, you know, whatever you had and say, well, I didn't steal your, you know, we didn't have cell phones back then. You had to carry a quarter or a dime in your pocket and find a pay phone. And we stopped for gas on the way here and I seen a pay phone. I went, damn, they still have them? I mean, because we live on the edge of Amish country and them damn horse and buggies, they slow you down. And I made folks, somebody asked me, you know, my heritage is my mama's from Louisiana and my dad's Amish, so that's a hell of a mix. So I grew up with a southern and a northern mix. And they got divorced when I was a young kid. And, you know, I grew up more on the southern side of the family. And I say yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, and open doors. And even though my mom's been dead for a long time, I was at a seminar this week because my job, and we were eating lunch, and I'm standing there, and these three ladies are behind me, and they looked at me. I said, I got to get out of line and get in the back. I said, what's that for? Because my mom would kill me if I didn't allow you to go first. You know, those things that are ingrained in us. And they looked at me like, what? And I'm like, yeah. I mean, even though she's been dead for almost 30 years, it's still that ingrained from being a child. Even though I grew up in a very abusive household, I worked the steps through that. I have a wonderful sponsor. My first sponsor, I had him for 16 years. And I still remember this day when he was dying, and because he had a lot of health issues, but he died clean. And well, he was in the hospital. Somebody called and said, John's in the hospital again. As we, about 30 of us went to the hospital. This is fellowship, man. We, you know, and the bad thing about hospitals is you go there and you ask for Ray or Randy, but they say, what's the last name? I don't know. I just know they're here. But at least I knew it was John Sanchez, you know. And I go over talking with him, and he looks up, he opens his eyes and says, what's everybody here for? Am I dying or something? And I said, man, you've been dying for a long time with your health issues. And, but he lived through that one, and about a month later he did die, and they called me that night about midnight, and people that have sponsors. That's a rough call. He had no family. They called, so we're going to get here real quick because he's dying. I told my wife at the time, I said, I got to go. She's in recovery. And I didn't get my shoes on, the phone rang again. they said, well, Mr. Sanchez passed away. And I said, shit. But I still went up to pay my last respects. You know, people were saying, Ray, how can you got a baby? My daughter was a baby about 6 months old. And they said, how can you go see your sponsor? He has MRSA. You got to put a robe on. You got to do all this stuff. I said, because he would do it for me. Why not? But I said, what about your baby? They can get this stuff. And I said, you know what? I have a God of my understanding that if I'm doing the right things for the right reasons, it'll be okay. I might not understand it, but it'll be okay. So I remember going up there, and he said, well, you don't have to put all this on because he's deceased. And I stood there. I sat there with him, and we talked. Well, I talked. I hope he listened. And I cussed him out for dying because he's there for you, you know. And it's like, damn, you died. And it's real. You are dead. And you have no family. And now we have to go. I have to help do your funeral arrangements. And the ironic thing was 30 days prior to that, we did his funeral arrangements together. You know, for him and his mom, and he picked out this beautiful casket and all this stuff. And I didn't know 30 days later I was going to put him in this casket. And he always said, oh, when I die, nobody's coming to my funeral. And the funeral home was packed. It was on a Friday afternoon. People took off work, and we were all there. People talked, and we, you know, all that good stuff we do. And we buried him, we put his last medallion in the eternity on his headstone, and I got to go back now and put it back because it's got loose. And I go visit him at the graveyard, and I kick his headstone because I'm still pissed at him sometimes. And if it wasn't in a public place, I'd probably pee on his headstone just because he pisses me off. You know, because we're addicts. We do stuff. And it's okay. You know, it's okay for me to still be mad at him because he died, because he's the person I built a lot of foundations. A lot of stuff. You know, I've shared a lot of deep stuff with him. Not because I wanted to. I had to. It had to come out. You know, then you got that journey of finding another sponsor. That sucks. Because you have all these expectations of somebody you built 16 years with. So who do I ask that I can build more time with? So there was a spot in there for 5 years. I didn't have a sponsor, but I was seeing a therapist. For issues that it says in our basic text, says our literature, there's issues that we need outside help. And people in our program didn't have that expertise to help me with that outside help. And that was my God and my understanding on my journey put me there, because I would have never went and asked for the outside help. But I was about ready to commit suicide, relapse, do a bunch of stupid stuff. And I had a nervous breakdown, anxiety, whatever they name that shit. And I spent a week in the basement not coming out. Well, I came out enough to fool my wife that I went to work and just stayed around the corner. I seen her leave work, came back home, went down the basement, isolated. Then about a week later, I was like, man, I need help. So I checked into one of them psych units, whatever they call them, and they give you all these labels. And there was this little bitty lady there. And I really liked her because she was up front. She threw it in my face and... okay, I can work with you. And so 5 years we worked on that real deep stuff, you know, and because I wasn't ready to work on that deep, deep internal stuff to set me free. You know, I was always carrying that baggage and wonder why I was angry, resentful. And so we worked on it, and I get done working with that, and I go ask a guy I knew from recovery for a long time. I was at a convention. I said, hey, Dave, will you sponsor me? He said, yeah. I said, okay, that's cool. The convention ended. I never got his phone number because he moved out of state. And about a year later, I see him. And he said, started introducing me as a sponsor. I said, you're not my sponsor. You never give me your number. And so we weren't meant to be, you know. And it kind of pissed him off, but it was true. You know, you were trying to say this, but it was my fault too. You know, I got to take ownership of Ray's part in it. I didn't get his number. You know, that's my part. And then, you know, and that's the day, that's what I have to do. I have to take only ownership of Ray's part in Ray's recovery. And so then I was looking again for a sponsor, and then I found this guy, and he's got about 13 years now in recovery. And somebody said, how can you have somebody with less time than you? I said, time doesn't mean shit. He works a great program. He gives me a lot of good feedback. There's things that he does that I don't agree with, but that's okay. He's not there for me to be a friend. He's there to work the steps, to ask him questions and try to get answers. And that's what this program is about. And I tell people, I'm not the perfect sponsor, you know. And like I still ask JJ, I said, what the heck did you say to introduce me? Because I didn't hear a word you said, you know. And I have hearing aids so I can have selective hearing. You know, but I know a lot of times you talk about when Camp Mac, why he asked me to be his sponsor because of one girl at the campfire. And did you say that?
No.
Oh, okay. Whoop, yeah. That, whoop, no. Well, the story goes like this. We were still friends. We hung out a lot. He had a sponsor. I knew his sponsor. And I go to Camp Mac, which is We Grow to Love. And about, what, midnight, 1 in the morning, I said, I got to pee. You want to walk me to the bathroom? Because, you know, it's a campground with cabins. And we're walking to the bathroom, and all of a sudden, he comes back 5 minutes and says, what happened to you? So the girl at the campfire, man. I was over here at the campfire. He said, but you had to pee. I didn't. I was going with you. You know, and, what, 5 in the morning, we finally went to bed. But he said, you know what respected me the most about you, I ask you, is, we were talking, me and the girl and him, and she said she had 20 days, and I said, well, I'll give you your space for your recovery, because I was taught, you got to give the person the space, you know, and I'm not infringing on nobody, you know, we're still friends of the individual, the lady, and because I was taught a lot of stuff at the beginning, and it makes a lot of sense, and there's a reason. I don't know all the reasoning, but I know the reasoning that it taught me from my experience. You know, and I believe a newcomer should be left alone for a year, because that's what it takes. That's what, and it should be longer than that for some people, but it's your program. It's not raised. So all I can do is show people what I want to do, you know, and that's what he said. He said, that's what I respected you because you just walked away. And I said, no, I didn't just walk away. I'm still there for that person, because it's not all about the horizontal shuffle, you know, with another person. And it's getting to know people in this fellowship. If you're a male and you have female friends, that's a wonderful thing. It's not about the sexual contact. It's good to have, I have a lot of female friends because there's stuff that I need to know about you females. Because I ain't a female, you know, I said, man, especially like JJ's wife, she always smacks me upside this. So Ray, that lady was flirting with you and you just, I said, man, I don't know. I'm just, because, you know, I'm not looking for a relationship, because after my divorce, after 22 years being with a person and getting divorced, there's a lot of shit I had to work on. You know, there's a lot of stuff I'm still working on from that relationship, you know, and I'm having a great relationship with myself. The first time in my recovery, I can say the relationship with myself is getting better and better and healthier. Because if I get in a relationship with another person, man, I got to ask them if I can do something. It's like, man, I want to do something. I just do it. There's nothing against being in a relationship. It's just I can do what I need to do in recovery, and it got me back into recovery. I mean, now I do my service work. You know, I believe in our fellowship wholeheartedly. I believe in our service structure. I might not agree with what our service structure is doing, but I agree in the service structure because our traditions tell us that we need the service structure to do the things our groups can't do. You know, and people look at me and, you know, they say, well, our group's going to have a picnic. And I go, your group should be carrying the message of Narcotics Anonymous. We have an area that you guys formed with an activity committee that's not doing anything and you want to do a picnic. Carry the message of Narcotics Anonymous and do it thoroughly. Be there for the addict. And then go to area and say, we'd like to have a picnic. But we do that, and Arian says, no. And I said, I understand. And that's why we do these things. But if we all come together for the right things, it works. Because we're focusing on the picnic, and we're forgetting about that newcomer walking in the door that needs this fellowship, and then they die. Then we're saying, why didn't so-and-so stay around? It's because we get defocused. And I'm not coming down, but I'm the same way. And I got to stop and talk to my sponsor and say, what am I doing? That's why I believe in sponsorship, you know. And I believe in the traditions. I believe the steps. And there's other things I don't believe in. You know, I was talking to somebody, you know, and I said, you know, it's an honest program. You know, and I've been around since, like I said, 1989. I've never read none of the stories in the basic text because they're stories. That's just me. Because me, the meat of the program is the beginning of the basic text. We all have a story. We all have a message. You know, just those persons were here before us. And their stories are in the basic text. But I'm a firm believer of the first half. Because it works. And I love coming to camp out because to me, this is Ray's personal thing is hotel conventions are too much hype. I mean, and that's just Ray. I mean, people call, I remember in Lobby, I do, like I say, we grow in love, and people call me and they go, Ray, do you guys have a, what is it, the banquet? And I said, no, I need to bring my evening gown. I said, well, you can bring it. You're out in the woods. You're not going to wear it. You better bring some bug repellent. You know, because I feel we get more intimate around a campfire. We get more intimate without the layers of we put on to cover up the true person. That's why I love outdoors events because the layers fall away. Because where can you, you know what I mean, you smell like bug repellent. Probably haven't took a shower because you haven't made it there yet. Try to get to brush my teeth, you know, it's like, you know, but we still love each other for who we are and what we are and where we came from, you know, and we get the families and I see the young children walking around, you know, that's our next, we hope they don't relapse and they don't use, but reality is, you know what, a lot of them may. I got friends in the fellowship, you know, I grew up with their kids were little, you know, now they're adults and have their own families, and they went out using, but the miracle of this program is, they walked in the door and said, they're addicts, and we welcome them. That's the miracle of this program, you know, that you watch the kid grow up, they went to all these activities, but when they used, they knew it wasn't for them and they had a safe place to come. And that's my job in the program is I show up to a meeting, not for anybody else. I show up because I need the meetings. The meetings don't need me. I mean, Narcotics Anonymous doesn't need my attitude, my bullshit, but I need Narcotics Anonymous. And the miracle's out there and it's growing, you know, and we have to be, you know, I have to stop sometimes and be open-minded. I brought my cell phone to see how long I was sharing because I never take my cell phone nowhere, you know. And I was talking to an individual about, you know, the younger generation, they multitask and they're on their cell phones and they're doing this and people are bitching and I'm like, you know, are they staying clean? It doesn't matter. They can multitask and do all this stuff. Are they staying clean? Because I ask people when they, you know, they're going in and out, I said, are you too focused on the social media and not hearing the message? Because that's what we're here, to hear the message of recovery, and it works. We're all walking, talking miracles of this program. Even the newcomer, the person with one day clean, you're the miracle, you know. But when we come to a meeting, we're defocused, because, you know, staying focused is hard. I still learn my sponsor. He said, there's three things I expect. He said, when you get to a meeting, go take a piss, get your coffee, talk to the people you want to, but when the meeting starts, set your butt down and give it the meeting your attention for the hour, hour and a half. You know, and my attention span is very slippery. And he would say, I'd say, really, I can't give an hour and a half? And he said, yeah, because, I mean, you need to chase your recovery like you chased your dope. And I said, man, I chase my dope 24 hours a day. I can't put that much in recovery. But I give it the hour and a half. You know, because If I can't give an hour and a half to listen to other people, who am I really hurting? I'm hurting myself. Because I know I go to a meeting, somebody said, man, Ray, you're over there sleeping. I said, no, I close my eyes because I'm trying to take the personalities out and hear the message. Because I have, you know, I got them issues with somebody. It's like, man, he's full of shit. But if I close my eyes, the full of shit went out the window and I'm hearing his message. You know, that's just for me. You know, and you know, people say, Ray, you're sleeping. I said, no, I'm listening. I'm deaf. I read lips. So if I close my eyes, I really got to concentrate. And if I really don't want to hear you, I just take my hearing aids out and say, what? You know, because somebody gets behind me and says something, I cannot hear them. Well, I found out I was deaf because I'm tone deaf, women and children. And because of the military and stuff I've done. But, you know, that's an excuse, because if I want to hear something, I can read lips. And that's sometimes a bad thing, because you can read lips across the room. It's like, oh, that's what they're saying. But, you know, this fellowship is such the most wonderful fellowship I've ever found. You know, I mean, it's done so much. I mean, I finished college. I never thought I'd finish college. It took me 9 years, 9.5 years to finish. You know, and I wanted to quit many a times, but working the steps, working with my sponsor, he kept giving me that motivation. He said, Ray, why do you want to quit? You want to shoot yourself in the foot and have a reason to use, because you can say you never finished. So I believe we should finish things, many little things, and they grow into big things, and they multiply, and they get bigger, you know. And the last thing I like to share about is sponsorship. I was thinking about this, you know, and the people that are sponsors, you know, I tell you, sometimes it's the roughest job in this program. Because I only sponsor four men, because that's all I choose to sponsor, because I have a life. You know, because I try to give them the best I can give them, four individuals. And like I tell them, you can sponsor your four individuals, and those four individuals can sponsor four individuals, and we can all benefit. But I have a life. You know, I like to do things. There's nothing against, but I feel, am I really being a sponsor to you if I have a bunch? I just raised interpretation of sponsorship for my life where I'm at today, you know. And then I got this, how you process stuff, you know. Because I got one, you know, you get different sponsors. I got one that's really high maintenance, you got low maintenance, and you got no maintenance. And, you know, and then the high maintenance person calls me and he'll have this issue. And then I feel like I'm mental again, because you're standing there and he calls, you're like, you jump over here and say, Ray, you know, you don't want to talk to the motherfucker. He's going to be full of shit. And what are you going to tell him that's going to work? Then the other idiot gets on this side and goes, but Ray, you have this program of recovery and you're supposed to mentor him and you're supposed to do all this shit. And so I got these two pinball machines bouncing back and forth. And then the Ray sits there and says, I got to take a deep breath and say, yes. Here's what we're going to do. You need to get real, get your butt hurt, and I'm going to be blunt. Because the two idiots that are talking to both sides of Ray aren't giving Ray the information he needs to give you. But that's that process, you know, and it's like, I feel like I'm going insane, then I go, but I'll get back with you because I need to talk to my sponsor about what you talk to me, if you don't mind, so I can process this. And maybe give you some advice that will save your ass. Because, you know, because if you ask me up front about something, he called me right before he relapsed. He was in his truck. And he called me about something, and I jumped all over his ass. Next thing I know, the next day, he's getting out of jail because of relapse. And he's blaming me. He said, Ray, man, you cussed me out. You did all this. And I had the dope next to me. I said, man, it ain't my fault. You went and got the dope. You put it next to you. You never called me. Don't blame me for your actions. But I did call you right before I used. And I got honest with you. Then you didn't tell me you had it. You chose to use. You chose to drive. You chose to get, you know, in that accident. And the police officer took you to jail. But maybe that was the best thing for you. it might have saved your ass. You know, then he asked me to sponsor him again, you know, 5 years later. It's like on a 5-year pinball. Same thing, 5 years later, he's not dealing with shit. And it's not my job to tell him he's not dealing with it. I just say, look, get as honest as you can be with yourself. Because if you can't get honest, you're screwing yourself. But I can't judge your honesty. Because everybody tells Raymond, so-and-so, how can you sponsor him? He's not being honest. I said, I don't care. That's him. He can, you know, he's not got to that point. I'm just here to help him with his steps. I'm not his God. I'm not his dad. I'm not his bank account. I'm here to help him if he asks for the help. That's all I can do. I can't save him. So 5 years, he went back out, relapsed, and he's back. That's why I say I got that, you know, we get that high maintenance one, you know, and I still get texts from him, and it's like, I'm here for you, and you want to get honest. Because he was supposed to come with us this weekend, and atypical, 5 days before, well, I can't go. I said, okay, I'm going, no problem, you know. But sponsorship is a wonderful thing because it's a two-way street, and I learn from the individuals as they learn from me. And it keeps me talking to my sponsor, because if I wasn't sponsoring people, I would have a sponsor by name, because I can procrastinate real easy. And it keeps me understanding this fellowship, understanding how it's evolving, you know, and I'm just glad that I found Narcotics Anonymous. You know, and like a lot of meetings, this one individual, he's saying what I always say at the end of a meeting, you know. I go, you know, I'm only clean one day longer than I ever put together in my life. I keep it very simple because it's not amount of clean time. I'm just clean today. It's one day longer than I've ever put together. You know, when I had one day, 2 days was longer than I ever put together, you know, and I didn't look at that, you know. And today, I keep it pretty simple. It's just today. I'm not giving tomorrow. I mean, we drove down here, and my sponsor said, I fell asleep, we went through the mountains, over the mountains in here, you know, and pulling my pop-up, and it was an experience, and it's a recovery, and he didn't want to bring the pop-up, he wanted to bring 2 tents, and I said, I'm glad we brought the pop-up, because we have the air conditioner, and I said, yeah, you know, recovery does have some benefits, but no, if you're here today, welcome. You know, I hope you stay, but not everybody does. We go on different journeys. But I'm just grateful to be down here. I'm grateful that you guys have a wonderful place, and you guys have a great weekend, and thank you very much.